Hey, this is Super Bowl champion Troy Brown. Touchdown!
Three-time Super Bowl champion.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we welcome to the desk.
Troy Brown.
You like it, right?
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're touched and rich. Troy Brown is brought to you by DN Van Lines. When moving your home or business, choose Felger's mover DN Van Lines, an approved mover for the Department of Defense and the top choice for Boston's pro athletes and celebrities. That's DN Van Lines. Oh, Mr. Brown. Yeah. You got to get that microphone right there.
Microphone.
All right. When was the last time you've seen this team look this bad?
Maybe 2009, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. 2009. Because they were off on the road, right? Well, what did they finish on the road that year? I think they won two.
That's the year they went to London and beat Tampa.
Yeah. So they won in England.
Technically, it was supposed to be a home game for Tampa. So.
Right here, let me turn your microphone. I just pop the little thing. One more turn. There you go.
I'm talking to the back of the microphone. That's what rookies do. Yeah.
Come on, get
slow
with them.
Slow start.
But yeah, I mean, this is weird. And like, I mean, we talk about Patriot type of play, how Brady at the end of games is clutch and doesn't make dumb decisions like in the mental error at the end of the first half in Miami. And then you see him throw that horrible interception. So I called it one of the worst he's ever seen Tom Brady throw. What is going on with this team looking and the false starts and the penalties and stuff you never see them do?
Yeah, I mean, that's unusual for them even at the beginning of the season. And to see them play this poorly in December right now and losing back-to-back games in December since the first time, since when now?
2002.
Mm-hmm. That is, you know, it's very unusual. We're not used to seeing it around here in New England. And, you know, and watching Tommy throw that interception, you know, that's just, to me, it could just be just a sign of frustration with the way things were going for that football team, or where it's been going last couple of weeks, losing last week to Miami the way they did, and then coming out and every time they seem to have a pretty good play or a decent play and it's called back, or you get yourself in a positive situation, then you, next thing you know, you're in 1st and 15, 1st and 20, you know, and some of your better players making a lot of those mistakes too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Edelman dropping a couple of passes and getting back-to-back penalties to put them in 1st and 20,
yeah,
in the red zone. Wait, and they weren't in the red zone, but when he got those penalties, but still, I mean, it was still like just unusual people making unusual mistakes.
Now, and so you think Brady throwing that ball out up might have been he was trying to get rid of it. No, I know what he was doing, right. But he was frustrated.
Well, I think at that point, I mean,
because you look,
I saw that play as if you wanted to take a sack, don't take that sack you took last week in the
right
red zone.
Right.
Take that one. At least you get the 3 points out of it, you know, because that was the end of the half last week.
Right.
And here, at least you get the 3 points. You don't put the, you know, your team in jeopardy by throwing an interception or a risky pass, you know. And I just think at that particular point, you know, where I forgot what happened before he threw that interception there, but. Yeah, I thought it was somebody jumped off sides or something. Something happened down there.
Probably. I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, it was 14 penalties. So, but it was, and to me, it was just kind of like him just being like a little frustrated that, you know, just throw it up and I see Big Gronk over there. Let's give him a chance to make a play.
It was a holding call.
A holding call. Yeah.
Push him
so
back.
That pushed him back 10 yards from the, I think they were on the 5 to push him back to the 15.
That's right.
And, you know, so it was just, to me, it was kind of a frustration type play. Like, man, we on the 5, now we on the 15. I mean, this has been happening all game for us. We really haven't gotten anything going since, you know, Chris Hogan touchdown.
Yeah.
And instead of just eating the ball and taking, you know, at that particular point in the game and taking a chance to get – giving him a chance to get 3 points, he just decided just to throw it up there just out of frustration, just like, you know, I mean, nothing else is going right for us. Let's see if we can make a play right here, just throwing it in the air.
All right, when you were playing in a place.
That makes sense.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it's not the healthiest mental attitude. to say, you know what, screw it, I'm frustrated. There you go, take it.
Well, when you were playing in a place as loud as like the Steelers, as Heinz Field was yesterday, and you, you know, the crowd is making it tough to you be able to hear Tom Brady when you were playing, how did you keep yourself from getting false starts? I mean, it's got to be. That's a tough task, well, in a place that loud.
for a lineman, it's a little different because, I mean, like with wide receivers, though, you should never false start.
Edelman had two.
Because you're looking at the ball.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he had that one and he had the illegal formation, which that should never happen either because that happened. If you're the outside wide receiver, mm-hmm. and you're looking in and you can see everybody.
Yeah. Right.
So it's your responsibility. even if you got to line up differently
yeah.
to make it legal. To spot the tight end.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's your responsibility to make sure you're in a legal formation. So when you look, you see somebody that's supposed to be on the ball and he's off the ball with you, then you move up.
Yeah.
You know, if he's on the ball, whatever, he's off the ball and you're off the ball, then whatever, vice versa. You just do the opposite of what the person's doing that's inside of you. So it's your responsibility to make it legal. And then if you're wide receiver, you're always looking at the ball. So you don't even listen to what the quarterback's saying, what signals he's calling. When the ball moves, you move. Mm-hmm. So you should never be either one of those things.
Yeah. Okay.
Yet.
Yeah, it happened. to a guy that's been around a very long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you can't doubt his effort and his ability and what he's brought to the football team. But, again, you had very good players on this football team that were making a lot of mistakes.
Why is this happening? There's no one who's hurt. All the major players are out there on the field and, from what we've been led to believe, relatively healthy. Yet all of these players that have experience at this time of year are, I don't know, combining to make very silly plays at the worst time of year. This is the opposite of what we've been used to the last decade and a half.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really explain it. I mean, other than I'm not sure what they were doing early in the season. I know they were having a lot of rest days or some recovery days they were having, and you know, I didn't like that idea, you know, back then. But those are the times where that team is usually preparing for situations like this. So, and they have a lot of that stuff cleaned up, you know, first 5-6 weeks of the season. And by the time December comes around, they're usually not making the mistakes you see a team like them make. You're usually seeing Pittsburgh make those mistakes. You're seeing, you know, other teams, you know, a team like Jacksonville or something like that late in the season making those kinds of mistakes. So, and, you know, I don't know if you can attribute it to a lot of the things that they were doing back then with those recovery days and whatnot and mental days they were having. And, you know, so it's a weird, strange season, and I think a lot of us just have to come to terms with that this team may not be as talented as it's been in the past.
Is it as simple as they're old and hobbled?
Some of them are getting a little bit older and beat up. And
they had to install that sweet punt play. so maybe you're getting a little undisciplined because you had to do the kick-ass punt play where everyone runs off the field and then the special teams unit comes on.
That worked. That worked.
Okay.
It did.
Hey, right.
You prepared for it. They executed that. They executed perfect.
You know what
they should have
been working on? Not getting all those penalties. They should have been working on other things.
But shouldn't we look at this and go, we saw this coming? I mean, look at your stars. You've got Gronkowski, who we knew that he was, you know, had been battling through all sorts of injuries. Mm-hmm. So you knew that there was probably going to be a transgression this year. Brady's obviously older. Edelman's older. Josh Gordon is a guy that, you know, as well as he has played up to this point, you couldn't really rely on him to be a massive playmaker because he was damaged goods from another team. It just seems that the Patriots, or at least the organization, didn't make enough moves to put a guy like Brandon Cooks in there like they did last year. Someone who is a younger playmaker that can be maybe that little extra spark on this offense.
Yeah, I mean,
like who's special on this offense?
I think Edelman still has some juice left in his tank. It's just, I don't think it's what it used to be either. Mm-hmm. You know, but you bring up Brandon Cooks. You know, he was a young and talented guy. Wasn't the best fit for this particular offense. You know, just the way they want it, just the way they play. But he has gone out to the Rams, and he's been able to do some of the things that I didn't think he was capable of doing here in this offense. So they've used him on some of those shorter routes that Edelman actually runs.
Yeah.
And he's done a lot of that with the Rams, getting the ball in his hands and running reverses and, you know, making plays that way as well. And at one point during the season before he got hurt there, you know, he was a top five receiver. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think he's still in the top 10 at least, but, you know, he's been an explosive player out there. And I look around the Patriots right now, and it's like, yeah, who do you put out there?
I think
Josh Gordon's put up some remarkable numbers to say he missed the first four weeks of the season and basically the fifth week too. I think he just by being able to put up over 700 yards in that time period. So
how about James White?
But yesterday was like he caught one pass and he had one that come off, bounced off his wrist.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, holy smokes. And then really you didn't hear from him again. And then he wasn't on the field on 4th and 15.
Yeah,
and,
the final play.
And Bill was basically asked Bill about it, and he basically said, they asked him how come Josh Gordon wasn't in the game on 4th and 15 and on that last play, and he said, because I had Patterson in.
I'm going with the kick returner. That's who I want.
That's a typical Bill.
Yeah. Because I screwed up again.
Yeah. Right. On the final play, once again.
But something funky must have happened with him yesterday, because really, after that drop, he was pretty much non-existent, man.
Yeah, they only targeted him. Yeah,
but and you got to give Pittsburgh some credit, too, for playing the defense that they did. I mean, they put that game plan out there, like, on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, and they executed it, man. So give them some credit for, you know, finally having an answer for Tom Brady and that offense.
They absolutely did.
Yeah.
They did. All right.
So we will be back. Your questions for Troy, 617-779-0985.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Troy Brown in studio with us talking about the disappointing loss yesterday over there in Pittsburgh. Let's go to Stanley. Stanley, hello.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hello.
Great.
Yes, yes. All right. So, basically what I'm saying is I'm not trying to be pessimistic. But this is a very unlike Pete. This is a very, you know, different Patriots season that we're never used to seeing. And I feel like maybe the time is somewhat here. But the thing I want to ask you was last year, Brady's easiest chance to get his sixth ring, but somehow, some way, Coach Belichick kind of cost him that sixth ring with coaching decisions. Changed my mind.
He wants you to change his mind.
Change his mind. Get in. He's sitting there.
Blow me away, yeah, Troy Brown.
I don't know if I can change your mind. You know, but I was in the boat with that. You know, Malcolm Butler should have been on the field. You know, if that's the reason why you're saying that they lost their best chance, the easiest chance to win, then, I might be in this. I'm probably in the same boat with you. But that being said, even with all that, I mean, it came down to them basically – not having a defense that could stop a cold, you know, stop a nosebleed.
Yeah.
So it was that bad on both sides of the ball. Philly couldn't stop him either, and it just came down to who was going to make a play first on the defense. And Philly came up with the big sack and strip sack of Tom Brady that put them in position to win the game. So, you know, I feel like my personal opinion is that Malcolm Butler would have made a difference in the game. But you know, but that's why Bill's the head coach, and that's why he's been good at it for so long. And I'm sitting here with you guys, you know, yeah. But you know,
so you won. So you're truly the champion.
I get to hang out with you guys every morning after the game. So yes.
So this,
I'm in great company.
The best. Should this defensive personnel be better? Is like, how much of this is the talent, like their inability to stop the run, especially, and how much of it is, do you think that they're just not getting the most out of them? They're not putting in a position to win.
Let me ask you this: what did they add to the defense this year that make it better than what it was last year?
I mean, that's a great question. I mean, that's kind of like almost the offense. You know, it's almost the same thing. How much did they add to this team in general?
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
they drafted Sony Michel in the offense, and then the defense.
You got a couple of rookies. J.C. Jackson's out there, you know, playing well. You know, like he thought he held his own yesterday against Smith-Schuster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's kind of hard. I'm hard pressed to find somebody else that they've added that's made a huge contribution and make this defense better this year.
Why do you think they didn't? Why do you think that they?
Or they got guys like Jason McCourty,
they got Adrian Claiborne, you know, guys that I think that they thought was going to be helpful with pass rushing. They got Jason McCourty, you know, trying to help boost, which I think he's had a better season than people expected. Judging from the preseason,
but this, the field. But this isn't; these are not names that you go, all right,
that's a playmaker.
We're all in.
I got you. Yeah. We were just talking about that off the air, like you know, 2006. People were talking about, well, how bad, you know, this guy was. That were, you know, like I said, Rishe Caldwell could, you know, at least he could run some routes, and some of the plays that he made were really bad. he made some really good ones too for this team, and he was, you know, pretty important in what we did to make it to the AFC Championship game that year, and getting Jabbar Gaffney halfway through the season, and he came in and made some big plays, mm-hmm. and we were in the AFC Championship game, and we were up 24-3, you know, and had every opportunity to win that game, and so you look at this team, and I don't see the kind of guys at the receiver position on the opposite side of the ball to be able to go out there and say 4th and 15, you know, give me Deion Branch, David Patton, y'all go out here and we're going to call 82, you're going to call these comebacks, mm-hmm. and I want you to beat your guy. I think Tom always had confidence in those guys being able to run those kinds of routes and win on 4th and 15, and I don't think he has that confidence in his outside receivers to be able to go out and do that, you know. And then look at what they did in 07. They went in there, they just stocked up and they spent money.
Exactly.
You know, at the point you're talking to, they went out and spent money, got Durant, they got West, got Dante Stallworth.
Yep.
You know, Jabbar was already here the year before. But they loaded up with just so many talented guys, and they spent the money to do it. You know, they didn't win the Super Bowl that year either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they were 18-0.
Yeah, right. You know? And so, it just seems like if you have, you know, you have Brady, you've traded Garoppolo, and we'll see how he works out. But you have Brady, and you know that this is not going to go on forever. And you know that there's going to be, you know, years of bad to mediocre football ahead of you.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't get the understanding, and you can manage the cap and everything else. I don't understand why they decided not to do more. It seems weird.
I just think they're always trying to be in control of the cap at all times and put themselves in a position to be really, really competitive and maybe not be as talented as that old 17.
Sure.
And just really just blow everybody out of the water. You know, I think they want to be in a position where they can say, look, we want to be competitive as we can be every single year, and we can't do that if we always got to move pieces around and, you know, sign a guy here for a big contract 1 year, then get rid of him 2 years later or whatever it be, or trade this guy after we signed him 4 years ago, and now we got to get rid of this guy. Always being in that boat where you got to be really, really, really short,
mm-hmm.
at certain positions as opposed to being maybe great at a couple positions and average at a few other positions, you know, and that's the kind of the approach I think they've taken to it, instead of just going out and saying, well, we're going to spend money this year and then absolutely suck next year. You know, and that's, you know, and it's worked for them because they've been around, you know, 20 years. They've been a problem for the whole league,
yeah,
for almost 20 years now. You know, so I think if you're a fan of the Patriots, you look at it this way, like, look, we're always competitive. We always got a chance to go to the Super Bowl and win, you know, but when you take that over just having one really, really, really great season and then two seasons of sucking before you get it right,
yeah,
you know, after you won it 1 year.
This was different because, you know, we can see that. I mean, again, who carries the baton for them when, you know, Brady starts, declining? And, I mean, who in this core is going to still be around, you know, so you might as well
I know what you're saying. Let's just go out, you know, if you're getting really close to the end and, mm-hmm. you know, just load up on some talented guys on both sides of the ball and, you know, and let's ride off into the sunset that way. That's what you're getting at, you know.
Well,
I'm not calling for the end or anything like that, but, you know.
It's starting to feel a little bit like it. But the other thing is, too, is that as bad as the Patriots look and as unpatriot-like as they look, the two teams ahead of them they've beaten before. The AFC's weird. And I don't think there's a team in the AFC right now that I just believe in.
Yeah, the AFC's weird. I think the NFC's weird, too. The Rams have now lost two games in a row.
Yeah.
We lost at home last night, you know, to a struggling Philly team.
Nick Foles.
Nick Foles is back. Well, maybe that's the answer for them is Nick Foles.
Nick Foles is going to get paid, by the way.
He's going to get paid.
You're going to pay him next year.
But it's starting to be turn out to be a weird December.
Yeah.
For a lot of teams right now across both AFC and NFC. But
would you be shocked if the Patriots went to the Super Bowl?
I would be shocked, yeah.
Yeah.
I would be. You know,
see, I wouldn't. And the reason is just because of what you just said. The AFC is weird. I don't think
they're
going to.
2 weeks ago, I came and said everything is lining up for the Patriots.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
So, I mean, you had Kansas City getting beat. you know,
Steelers three
Pittsburgh
in a row.
Pittsburgh losing three in a row.
Yep.
And here they are themselves, you know, and just now they've lost two games in a row, you know, a heartbreaker to Miami and then just getting, you know, pretty much dominated by Pittsburgh's defense. Offense couldn't generate much, you know, and they couldn't stop the run. So at this point in the year, I mean, this is, you know.
They suck away from home. They beat both teams at home.
Horrible team on the road.
Yeah.
Horrible.
They're going to have to play at least one playoff game there, too.
Besides last week was the only time they scored more than 10 points. You know, that's just that's pretty bad. I mean, well, they scored. They in Chicago, they did pretty good in Chicago. But, you know, other than that, man, this has been a terrible, terrible year, you know, for them on the road.
Have you experienced that before? Have you been on a team that you struggled on the road? And if so, why? Like,
I'm trying to think of what year. I think maybe 2002.
Okay.
2002, we were horrible on the road.
No,
obviously.
Can you think of what is the reason for that, to have such a difference between how you play at home and how you play on the road?
Well, I think a lot of it's got to do with the attitude and the mental makeup of your football team. You know, if you got guys that just they feel more comfortable at home and they can generate that energy, and we were always, I mean, it was always a point for the coaches, always talk about bringing your own energy. And you know, you got to start off fast. You got to be able to block out the crowd. So that was always an issue, mm-hmm. You know. And if you got, you know, if you got some guys that aren't able to handle that, you know, it makes it much more difficult, you know, to go on the road and win games. Because, yeah, I mean, you get that a lot. People just feel like, you know, would you feel more comfortable at your house or my house? You know,
right.
So and you get that in football, too. They just feel more comfortable, you know, and not going to get booed, and you know, we can hear what's going on your phone offense.
But you would seem so,
people just feel comfortable with that, man.
Yeah, but you're a professional athlete. It's like, yeah, you know, you're going to have to do this, and you've been doing this all your life. I mean,
you got different surfaces you're playing on sometimes, and you know,
and you played back when
they go out, they're looking up at the sun to see where the sun is, you know, is the sun coming in from that way or this way, or where's it going to be at 2 o'clock, you know, it's going to be right there, right here, you know.
Him and Ernie Adams whispering to each other.
Yeah, Ernie Adams controls the sun. Ernie Adams had like a remote control that blocked the sun. Like, because you played Troy, like, when Fields sucked. Like,
yeah.
I
loved it.
Okay, so you... Yeah. Because I remember the Silverdome just was, it was concrete and then a piece of turf.
I think a lot of stadiums, like, yeah, a lot of stadiums like that. Philly, go to Philly. Used to go to Philly, man, and you could see, like, where they have the bases cut out. Mm-hmm. It's basically plywood with turf stapled underneath, you know, with some industrial staples underneath, you know, so it won't come up. But there were seams, and sometimes the seams would be uneven. Like, you could see second base right here. Or second base. Well, it's a pitcher's mound right there. Yeah, the 10-yard line, yeah.
Oh,
you know, so you could see it all, and you had to be careful about hitting those seams. You know, back in the day, I think it was Mike Quick who blew out. He blew out both of his ACLs on the one play.
Yep, just jumping
both
up for
ACLs.
A pass.
What
yep.
did what was that?
Michael
a
Irvin.
Situation?
Michael Irvin ended his career.
Yeah. Oh,
his
yeah.
Neck jamming into the turf in Vet Stadium. So
remember Welker in Texas in Houston?
They brought in sod that has seams in it. You know, and basically, you know, he stepped in one of those seams, I guess, and that blew his knee out. But, you know, yeah, the Fields back then, man, they sucked. And,
yeah, they
and
sucked.
I loved it because, I mean, it was a time where you had to bring 3-4 pair of shoes with you to certain fields, you know, and you had to get out and test out your shoes, which one's going to work the best. You know, so it was a lot more thinking to the game than guys just showing up and, you know, they don't have to use any Clorox in the wash to get your jerseys clean. But I used to love the fact that you could get dirty, it was football, man. It's an outside game, outdoor game, and now they try to play it in perfect conditions, and it, you know, it's lost a little bit of luster for me. But you know, I still enjoy watching the games.
I bet.
But there was nothing better than running around in, you know, 4 inches of mud. you know, hitting your feet, hitting
yeah. just slop.
There was nothing better than that, man. You know,
just those concrete.
Like, who's that with that? Yeah, I don't know who that is, but that was a pretty good play, man. You couldn't read the numbers anymore.
Everyone looked like Pigpen.
So it was great, man. Now you can go home without taking a shower now, man.
Right. Sounds like me every day. All right, Troy Brown in studio, 617-779-0985.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Troy Brown is brought to you by DN Van Lines. When moving your home or business, choose Felger's. Move-er. DN Van Lines, an approved mover for the Department of Defense and the top choice for Boston's pro athletes and celebrities. DNVanLines.com.
If for some reason this season ends as bad as it can, like first round, they get knocked out, do you see the team doing something somewhat drastic, maybe even involving Tom Brady? Like possibly, because I'm thinking about the end of the time of like Paul Pierce with the Celtics. I know it's a completely different sport.
Well, if the season ends as bad as it can,
yeah,
then they would probably lose these last two games, and Miami would be Miami win the last two games.
That is as
bad as
it can.
As it can get.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. So it can get worse than even my imagination allows.
Because they're still in it.
That's right. They are surprisingly
still in it. I think they have Buffalo and New York left.
You get Sammy Dean here. Who knows what can happen?
Josh Allen's going to run 300 yards. Do you see them doing something drastic, or are they just going to let this ride out till the very end with Tom Brady?
I don't see them doing something drastic with Tom Brady, because if the window is indeed closing, I think he's going to give them the best chance to be competitive offensively. Now, there may be some other things offensively they may do. I mean, drastic, I don't even know if them moving Rob Gronkowski or whatever they're going to do with him in the future, you know, so him not being a part of the football team, if that's drastic.
I almost think it's expected.
You kind of maybe expect that to come at some point. Or
the Krafts will never let Brady go. The Krafts will never.
Yeah, I think he's going to dictate what happens with his own career when it's over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I just don't see anything happening with them as far as them trying to rebuild with another quarterback at this point. You know, they're going to take a shot. It's like you talked about earlier. Then they're going to spend some money and load up with some people and certain positions, some pass rushers and receivers, and
you have to draft a quarterback at some point.
And they got one here. You just think we haven't seen him, you know. But hopefully we don't see him for a while,
right?
But maybe draft somebody else that's probably a little bit farther ahead.
All right, Mike,
Danny Etling.
Okay, Mike, you're referring to him as Mr. Brown. So here you are. You were with Troy Brown.
Well, thank you. Number one, happy holidays to all, and Mr. Brown, Troy Brown, thank you for everything you've done. So anyway, it seems like Tom Brady and most of the offensive weapons, it's easier for them to run downhill than it is to climb uphill. Why aren't they adjusting the offense to kind of play into that wheelhouse instead of, I see, when I watch the games, it seems like the play calls are very similar to when, you know, Tom was at his peak, if you catch what I'm saying.
When he was at his peak, what, this year or in his career?
No, just in general. So, yesterday, the last series of the game, they were throwing, you know, those 18 to 20-yard passes into the end zone. And if you saw, all three passes were, like, way over the receiver's heads, like, way over the receiver's heads. Especially the one to Edelman where they said that, you know, he had a chance to catch that. There was no way. If you watch the replay, it was a good foot and a half over his head, especially with the defender on his back. My point is, if Tom's long ball isn't as good and accurate as it used to be, and the 7 to 10 yard or 7 to 20.
Okay.
All right, we're getting technical.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Yeah, I'm assuming he's talking about that last series where they were.
I don't know. Tom hasn't been able to throw the ball down the field very well for a while.
That's never been his expertise.
Yeah.
You know, his entire career. He's done it before, but that's never been what he's done really well. You know, and his big thing is just picking guys apart in the intermediate areas of the field, making good decisions with the football. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's been his thing. And if he's talking about yesterday, that last series where they were throwing, what was it, 1st and 15 from the from whatever yard line it was.
Which, by the way, James White was open.
Yeah, that was the issue. He was there for a reason. He's the check down. They were playing that fence, that picket fence look where they line up all the guys across the first down marker and a few guys on the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
and we'll throw it in front of us. We'll come tackle you. Well, on 3rd and 15, that he should have took that check down to James White. He could have fallen and easily made it 4th and 8.
Yep.
So if he gets in the football there, he's probably going to be, you know, 4th and 2, 4th and 3.
Sure.
You know, so, but he decided he wanted to go for the end zone and threw that to back of the end zone. So it's just, you know, I think if once he sees that on tape, he's going to regret throwing that ball out of the back of the end zone there. But, you know, it was some better decisions that he could have made in that particular situation. That could have got them in a more favorable 4th down situation there.
Because they
could have picked up a first down.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So going back to what you said earlier, you were talking about how they had rest days and things and how that might be affecting them. What do you think about Tom Brady missing, the
everything OTAs? That wasn't
yeah,
mandatory.
Everything that wasn't mandatory. Mandatory.
I think it all, at the end of the day, you know, we used to always talk about during those days when we worked out, man, and OTAs and Bill's big thing was let's put it in the bank.
Yeah.
You know, everything that you do now, starting the first day of training, you're putting it in the bank, and then you take it out during the season. So, in my opinion, and with that being said, that everything that happens in the off season,
they're broke.
You know,
is that what you're saying?
The piggy bank's empty, busted.
Yeah, they didn't save up as much as they should have in the off season. You know, and for whatever reasons, you know, I don't know what the reasons were for, you know, him not. He said it was family reasons. You know, so whatever it is, you know, so you missed that little bit of time with those guys that become familiar with you and get to know them a little better, and you know, and have them get a little more comfortable with you, the Dorsets of the world, you know,
mm-hmm.
guys who hadn't really been around him in the offseason.
Patterson.
And then a lot of things you go over in training camp. You do a lot of situational football stuff in training camp, you know, and I don't know if they do that on their days off, you know,
yeah.
or their recovery days, should I say. And, and you know, so I don't know if all that stuff has caught up with them.
That really pisses you off that they have recovery.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, you're angry they didn't have to go two days all the time.
If I had, I'd still be playing right now. Recovery days.
That's the third time you brought that up in 45 minutes.
You can't do two-a-days.
Yeah.
Can't do two-a-days anymore. You know, so that's preparation time.
Sure.
That you're losing.
Yep.
You know, it could have added quality time to my career.
Right. And now,
damn union.
Yeah. Damn union, you're right. Yeah.
Well, but everyone's going to come back, and if things end disastrously, I mean, the first thing they're going to point at is Tom Brady not showing up before the season started. Whether that's fair, that's not fair.
Yeah, I don't know. He made that table,
and now he's got to sit there. If the tone from the beginning of the season was set that we're not taking this year as serious as years past, that was the tone that he set.
And we're going to have some fun.
Yeah. Maybe.
It's going to be a fun season.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying the season and whatever. So, but
even Bill Belichick last week was like, listen, nobody died. And I'm like, what? You lost in one of the most embarrassing fashions in Miami. And you're all of a sudden, as Fred called him, you know, Jimmy Buffett. You know, just like, hey, man, life's a beach. You know, let's just have a hula. Nobody died.
You know, just, hey, man, when you're in Miami, you know, you rock some flip-flops, Tommy Bahama, and get it going.
Isn't that weird to hear that from Bill Belichick?
Yeah, it is, man. Maybe he's changed his outlook on what's really important in life. You know,
perfect.
But, you know, I don't know. But you know, it's
that's not good for football.
It's not good for football. Awesome. It wasn't good for the Patriots last week either. You know, I mean, I'm sure he was probably different behind closed doors. Everything I've heard coming out of there that it was a really, really tough week of practice.
I bet.
Now it didn't show up in the game.
No,
but it was a really back to old school Bill Belichick. During the week,
that's another unpatriot-like thing. They usually bounce back after a bad loss.
They usually bounce back,
and they didn't
after that.
Just so happened
they
had two road games in a row this year.
Yeah,
so unfair.
By the way, I'm looking now because I mean, you know, right now the Houston is the 2 seed.
Houston's the 2 seed,
and the good news is, if you want to find any kind of good news that might be out there after this morning, that is that they got to go to Philly this weekend and win. Which all of a sudden. That doesn't seem as easy.
They got to go to Philly, and they have Jacksonville
at home,
which is a division game for them. They have them at home. I know Jacksonville blows, but
and they're out. Yeah. And they had nothing to play for.
And Jalen Ramsey's already said, I'm only concerned about myself.
Which is so great. They asked him about the coach's future. He's like, dude, all I care about is me.
Yeah. So that could be that. That's going to give them a win. So their best hope right now is the
Philly.
Hope that Philly keeps playing the way they did last week and the last couple of weeks, and hopefully they can get a win, man.
St. Nick, going to do it again.
St. Nick, and that'll put them back in the 2-seed. But they got to win their own games. You know, I know they got Buffalo and the Jets.
Which who knows now? You know, who knows? Well, they look so bad.
Buffalo's they're not turning the football over as much as they used to. And, you know, and I heard you guys talking about the names on the Jets.
Yeah.
Name a guy that ran the ball for the Buffalo Bills yesterday.
Josh Allen.
And there's one guy I can name that caught a pass for the Bills yesterday. So, Robert Foster,
okay.
He's like a 24-year-old rookie out of Alabama, but other than that, you know.
All right, we will be right back. We'll finish things up with Troy Brown.
Takes the waist-high snap, four-man rush, a lob down the right side for Rodgers, and he overshoots him with contact along the boundary. Steelers looking for a call, and he comes in late from the back judge. Jonathan Jones engaged with Eli Rodgers. There was an official directly in line with both that did not reach for the flag.
Pass interference, defense.
No.
Number 31.
You can't throw that from there. You can't throw it from center field.
He just did. Remarkable.
There's a guy 3 yards from it that's got the perfect view of it that says it's a no call.
So many calls yesterday. That might be the only bad one.
It's funny. It's funny because I was in there screaming the same thing Zolak's screaming right now. Like, that's not your call. That's not your call.
So, he's right. There's a guy standing right there.
Right there. That's not his call. And I'm like, dude, what are you looking at? That was the first of the 14.
Yep. Yeah.
And that put him in scoring position, man.
It was a bad one.
It was an awful one. So that was a really bad, really, really, really bad call. So
all the other ones happened. I mean, they'd show it. You're like, all right. Well,
there was some ticky tacks here and there. It was one of those holding calls, I think, on that 25-yard run that Trent Brown had.
Okay, take away that one. He got
Shaquille O'Neal on that one. You know, he's just so big and so much bigger than everybody else. It's like, we see his hand on the outside of his jersey just a little bit. It was that much of a pull on it, you know?
When there's false starts on Cannon, it's funny because, you can't miss it.
Yeah.
If he moves an inch,
everyone sees it.
One more that I didn't understand either was the holding call on Malcolm Brown. Late in the game.
I'm trying to remember that call. There was just
It was a defensive holding that call. I think they had just ripped off a pretty big run themselves.
Yeah, he reached out with his left hand and kept the offensive lineman from getting the next level.
I couldn't see it.
That's where he reached out and grabbed the uniform and kept the center from moving fast.
Antonio Brown got grabbed by behind from Gilmore and a ball got overthrown.
It's just hand fighting, Fred.
No, it wasn't hand fighting. He reached out and grabbed his jersey.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So the Patriots got a little break on that one.
You are mistaken.
Yes, nothing. It was all the officiating.
Nothing to see here. Move along.
It was all the officiating yesterday. All right, so Troy, we ask you this often, but now what is it like right now in Gillette in Foxborough?
Because they had to come in today.
It's pretty tense.
Yeah.
Pretty tense today. Like I said, I've heard Belichick was in one of his moves last week, and I'm sure it'll double this week, and practice will be pretty intense for him. I guess as intense as it can get with no pads on, you know. But it'll be pretty intense, and they'll be going at it pretty hard. So, you know, trying to get his team in that playoff mode right now. You know, he's not used to having his football team play this poorly. Situational football are getting gassed in the run game the way they are, and the offense not being able to produce against, you know, what was a good Pittsburgh front, but a terrible secondary,
you know?
So, and not being able to do those kind of things this time of the year against teams like that. So, and, you know, so it'll be a tough week. And they will see it not only from Bill, but from the coaching staff and Ivan Fears in particular, you know, so he'll be dog cussing everybody tomorrow. So Wednesday in practice.
Hills?
There may be some hills.
Okay,
there may be some hills involved in it.
How much did hills suck? Was that one of the worst?
Yeah, just running period sucked because it's like Bill. I was talking about the mud game. We had one of the mud games against the Colts, and I think it was the AFC Championship game. And all of the receivers started cramping up. Givens, myself, Branch, you know, just guys just kept getting cramps. And wondering what's going on. Maybe it was the mud was sucking your feet down. And it's like you just started cramping up. Bill comes in, 20 degrees outside, and I got my receivers cramping up on the line. I'm like, dude, he was punishing us and conditioning us for catching cramps. Like I said, we were running in 4 inches of mud.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is wrong with you, Bill? But he gets in those molds like that, man. Like, it's, you know, and he ran us. He ran us that week before he went down to Houston for the Super Bowl, and then he ran us down there like double what he usually does.
Oh, geez,
and I'm like,
man,
we keep this up, man, we're not going to be able to play in the game.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much a good way to stop you cramping, too.
Did he ever punish
exactly. Just make him run some more.
Right.
Did he ever punish you by putting you in a worse hotel than you normally would stay in? Because I heard Mike McCarthy say that.
Every week. That was every week, if you want to call it punishment. So, you'd be off, and you go to Miami, you'd be off somewhere, and God knows where, man, Liberty City somewhere in a hotel. So.
All right. Well, Troy Brown, you can see him on NBC Sports. NBC Sports Boston, as always, sir, we appreciate it.
Nah, man, I appreciate you guys. Are you guys going to be here next week?
No.
We're not going to be you?
No, we're out here.
You'll be you don't want to hang out with me next week?
You'll be a mystery man. I don't even know who's going to be in here.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, it'll be someone fantastic.
Yeah, well, send me pictures, man. Please do.
Oh, the excitement that I'm getting.
All right. We two were going somewhere warm. We just said we were going to be here.
All right. No commercials here. Well, go ahead.
You didn't even come back with a tan. You were in Miami last week.
Cloud cover, Troy. Not a lot of sun out there. 85 degrees, but no sun.
He drives around in the Lambo with the top down.
I want to see tan Wallach. Can we get you a spray tan just to see what it would look like?
No.
I'd get a spray tan. All right, so no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.